Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 366, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, episode 28, Ocean Blue.
It aired November 4th, the year 2000, written by Judd Lynn and Jackie Marchand, directed by Jonathan Zacher. And we have a guest today, as we alluded to last time. Welcome to the show, David Pinkney.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I've been told that this episode gets buck wild, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, that's a way to put it.
We ask our guests a couple questions when we have them. So first up is, what is your history with Power Rangers?
My history with Power Rangers is, I guess, you know, way back when as a kid, I started with Mighty Morphin.
Sure.
And it, you know, just like everyone else. And it was definitely one of my first, like, fandoms. And then I would say I dropped out maybe about 2 years ago. For some reason, I just decided I'm going to watch every single season of Power Rangers. And then I did watch every single season of Power Rangers. So I've watched all the way through, you know, Dino Supercharge and like the first 8 episodes of Ninja Steel.
Nice.
You know, read the comics and everything. It's just, you know, one of my favorite franchises for better or for worse, depending on the season.
Yep.
but yeah, I guess that's pretty much my history with it.
All right. I've heard from Shannon that you would not watch in order, right? You would kind of jump around.
So at first I started kind of jumping around, like I would do Zio, and then I think I jumped to like something like, what was it called? Forever Red and stuff like that, and Wild Force, some of like the iconic episodes.
Yeah.
But then I guess once I hit Turbo,
weird that the car season is just a giant roadblock.
Yeah, everything went weird from there. But after that, I kind of just started actually doing them in order, especially because, you know, the crossover episodes and whatnot, they mean so much more when you know the previous season's team. So I kind of went back and forth, but eventually I started just doing them season after season.
Okay. I watched Time Force about a year and a half ago, and I'd seen a little bit of Lightspeed at that point. But when the Lightspeed Rangers showed up, I was like, "Cool, new Power Rangers!" Like, I don't know who they are, but now I'm going to be much more excited when we get there.
4/5 excited for the Lightspeed.
Yep, and then Joel. Oh,
yeah, Joel's a fairly constant problem.
Yeah, glad that doesn't get better.
I mean, yeah, a little bit better, but he's still Joel.
Yeah. So who is your favorite Power Ranger up through Lightspeed?
Favorite Ranger up through Lightspeed, Adam Park, definitely.
Nice. He's a popular one.
Adam Park is always everyone's answer because he's very good.
He is very good, but outside of Adam, through Lightspeed, so you've already watched Lost Galaxy.
Outside of Adam, it could be anybody. If anyone past where we are, we just like to, like,
anywhere past where you guys are, then I would have to say Jen, Time Force Pink, right? That's definitely one of my favorite Rangers of all time. And then I also big fan of Wes from Time Force.
Yeah, both of them. I'm so excited for next season. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good.
The whole way through.
I know we have more questions that we ask, and every single time we get past who's your favorite Ranger, I cannot remember a single one.
What is your favorite season out of all of them, because you've watched them all?
Definitely Time Force is number one. That's just hands down. You know, Mighty Morphin will always have that, like, kind of special spot, but Time Force is just objectively my favorite season.
Yeah, it's very good. I feel like I'm overselling it. And if you don't like it, Josh, I don't know if we can continue the podcast.
It's a very good season.
If I don't like it, Scoot will be here by then.
That's
so
true.
You can fire me.
I'll trade you out. What's after Time Force? After the objective best, what is after Time Force?
That's where it gets a little more difficult. I could give you more of like a top five.
It's okay if it's Operation Overdrive. We don't judge here.
That is not in my top five. But I would have to say, you know, Jungle Fury is one of them. It doesn't get nearly enough love, I don't think.
Yeah.
Dino Thunder is also great. Zio and In Space, those are all just great seasons.
I agree with Zio and In Space. I haven't watched Dino Thunder or Jungle Fury. Jungle Fury has gotten like a lot of good recs from people we know. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, it feels like the season of Rangers that's just never talked about, but it's very, very good. And then Dino Thunder almost feels like that kind of spiritual successor to Mighty Morphin, but in a very good way.
Okay. I'm pretty excited about that. Cause everyone knows Tommy comes back, but I don't know like anything else. So I'm excited to see what goes on there.
His role's interesting. I'll say that.
Okay.
That's the second Dinosaur season, right? After Mighty Morphin is Dino Thunder, and then there's Dino Charge.
Yeah.
Is that all of them?
I think that's it. Okay. Yeah.
Those are all the dinosaur themed ones. Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense that they would kind of do a spiritual successor kind of throwback.
I thought they were going to try to do something like that with Dino Charge, and then they just didn't.
It's weird that they kind of did it with, like, was it Megaforce that had like an Ernie that ran a juice bar? No, or was that Samurai?
Megaforce did have an Ernie that ran like a smoothie bar or something like that.
Right.
Inside the mall of their nameless city in Megaforce.
Their city didn't get a name at all?
Yeah, it's bizarre. Like, I wasn't forgetting that. I do not believe they ever give that city a name.
We gotta save Megatown.
Yeah.
Megaforce. I watched Megaforce, all of it, somehow. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch all of Super Megaforce, because after the first season, I was like, I'm going to take a break and wait for us to get there on the show.
That's fair.
It was, I wouldn't want to say riddled with problems, but it wasn't what I was hoping for.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, Shannon and I, when we watched it, we acknowledged that it's like, this is a very problematic season. Both seasons, like, Super Megaforce... Yeah. Riddled with just as many problems as Megaforce, but some episodes were at least kind of fun, you know. That was pretty much what pulled us through the I guess both seasons.
Just waiting between fun episodes.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think we have any other questions. I'm sure we do. I'm sure we've asked dozens of different questions to different guests, but I cannot remember another one.
It's all good.
Do you want to go watch this episode?
Let's do it.
Rescue ready.
And we're back, and we just watched Ocean Blue, and something amazing happens in this episode. Excited to get to, but first, morphingrid.tumblr.com is our website, so is heyjakeandjosh.com, that's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com, we're on Snapple Podcasts, we're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, we're on... A whole bunch of other. I'm going to take this week off, this episode off of thinking up fake podcast services that you can subscribe to for us. If you just want to leave us a written review, that would be great. Also, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can get some neat stuff in return, including us talking about Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills, or us talking about Sonic for 20 minutes, the new Sonic movie. And again, as soon as we recorded it, it was already moot because they cast someone as Sonic, so it went out the window immediately. And now there's even more information wherein Sonic might steal a car. Who knows?
Someone in a green suit was driving a car. Might be Sonic. Might be someone else.
The Sonic
Shadow. He has cars and guns.
I'm like actually oddly excited for that movie. Like, legitimately excited.
I hope it's the Super Mario Brothers of Sonic movies. That's all I want out of it.
I don't think it has a choice but to be.
So, yeah, if patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh, you want to support the show, that would be great. Let's jump in. Normally on Fridays, we will do emails and reviews and tweets and stuff, but we did that on Monday because we knew David was going to be on this one. So are you ready to jump in?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
We start off with a mermaid chained up between two rocks. Was it chained or was she netted?
She was chained.
She was chained.
Yeah, she was chained to the wrist, around her wrists, like to a cliff face.
How did she get here?
Don't know.
So that begins my problems.
We're starting off early.
There's a story there. Like, someone chained up a mermaid. First off, someone found a mermaid and then went, I need to chain up the mermaid. But for what? Why is she, like, what did she do?
I don't know.
I have a theory, but we need to get a little bit far. We need to get through the cold open.
Okay, I think I might have the same theory as you, because literally I couldn't think of a single other reason that someone would be like, yes, I found a mermaid. By the way, there's mermaids in Power Rangers, everyone.
There's one.
There's at least one real mermaid. Confirmed. We see come over the cliff facing Vipra, who goes, hey. And that's it. That's all she says.
Yeah, they had the bright idea to give Viper just a lot of lines in this episode.
It's a very Viper-centric episode, I feel like, and that's has its pluses and minuses.
Yeah, I always feel real mean whenever there's a lot of Viper, because she's not what anyone would classify as a good actress, but like...
She's trying.
She's trying her best, right? So Viper releases this mermaid. We will get a name for her later, but we don't have it yet. I was, by the way, this whole time, I was just trying to think of like, what water pun is she going to be named?
I was like, are they just going to name her Ariel? Is it going to be something like Laurel?
I don't know. I
was pretty good.
At one point I thought she was just kind of like, my name is Mermaid and I'm the only one. She says thank you to Viper and swims away. And then we get, like, real shots of this woman in, like, a mermaid, like,
tail
yeah. Swimming underwater, which had to be expensive to shoot.
This poor girl spends a lot of time in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually kind of insane considering, like, the rest of the episode. You're like, they really, you know, they put it in for that mermaid underwater. So many underwater shots.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, time well spent or not, but time will tell.
I think it is mermaiding is a business. Like, you can hire a mermaid for, like, birthday parties and stuff.
Yeah, and they'll, like, sit underwater and they have, like a hose, like a breathing thing connected to, like, hopefully a lot of oxygen.
Right.
So hopefully this girl is a professional mermaid.
That's kind of what I thought. She swims very well.
Yeah.
She mermaids very well, to her credit. So she swims away, Lokai comes up behind Viper and is like, I can't believe you found her. And then Viper says, everything is working perfectly. And then we cut to the theme song and it's like, oh, you couldn't do another take on that.
So my theory for how she got there is they caught her and trapped her and tricked her into thinking they freed her.
I think so.
However, it doesn't play out that way because Viper's like, everything's going perfectly. Hopefully this mermaid finds Chad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like the crux of like where it gets confusing for me. Cause like you said, Viper's just like, yeah, we finally found her. I'm like, so you just assumed you had all this foresight that this mermaid is just going to happen to have a chance interaction and happen, you know, to be used as part of your plot to get specifically to Chad.
Like, yeah. They could have even like real quickly just done like, since I've set you free, do this favor for me. Go find this boy.
Right.
Like, and boom, yeah. Your whole plot makes way more sense.
I mean, at the very least, we've seen that Viper can shapeshift. Like, she could, like, look like Chad and free her and then, like, run away. So when the mermaid goes to find her, like, and you can kind of do that, like, you know.
Yeah, like, kind of like a bait and switch, yeah.
Yeah. But instead, she's just like, all right, off with you. And I know you're going to hone right into Chad somehow.
Sometime in the future.
So we go to the theme song. David, how do you feel about the theme song, the Lightspeed Rescue theme song?
I actually really like the Lightspeed theme song. It's not my favorite of the themes, but I enjoy it.
Okay. Follow-up question. How do you feel about the Mystic Force theme song?
That one, I feel the opposite.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, everyone has their own opinions on the greatest theme song of Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's not the worst theme.
That's Operation
Overdrive, so... I will say Mystic Force did grow on me, though, after a while.
We listened to it. We did it. We ranked it for a bonus episode between seasons, and we ranked all of them. And when we first listened to it, I was like, this is weird and not great. And then, like, literally by the end of that episode, I was like, this is the best one. This is my favorite one. I don't know why it cursed me, but I love it now. So we come back from the theme song, and there's just some guys sitting on a dock. Casually littering, like they're like competitive littering with each other.
They threw their football in the ocean.
Yeah,
like dudes, you need that.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre because the whole time they're sitting there, at first you kind of think like, oh, maybe they kind of accidentally dropped something, but then they're just like actively like, well, let's just take each individual single piece of trash one at a time and separately just place them into the ocean.
And they're just talking about like how cool and fun it is to litter. And I don't remember what they said like at the beginning. They were like, that guy, it's blah, 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 blah. Because we were on the mermaid. She like swims up and then like sees litter. And she's like grabs a like two cans and like a plate or something. And then they just like keep tossing stuff over. And then Chad swims up. He's doing some surfing. And he sees this. He's like, hey, stop it. And so these guys are like, oh, we're going to be dinks now. And they just start like, oops, whoopsies, oops. And so they don't know that they're messing with a Power Ranger, unfortunately for them. Because Chad spin kicks the pier so hard it knocks them off.
Which is probably the best part of the episode.
Yeah.
I loved it.
This is the same Chad that just aggressively kicked his way through a robot once. So
yeah,
and he tracks.
Yeah,
he's got good kicks.
That's maybe my favorite Chad moment because it cut to him kicking a robot, and he's like, "This sucks. This is really hard to do." And then it cut back to the other Rangers finding other ways to kill this robot, and it cuts back to Chad still kicking the robot until he kills it.
Well, he toughened his foot up so much that he could shake a whole pier now.
He's one kick man. They fall in the water, and Chad's like, hey, are you going to clean this up now? And they're like, yeah, sorry, we're going to clean up all our trash.
We didn't realize you were a superhero.
Didn't know we were messing with Aquaman. And so then he notices the mermaid, and she's very pretty. So he gets a little tongue-tied, but he's like trying to make a small talk. He's like, hi, I'm Chad. What's your name? And she doesn't say anything because she's very shy. And then Kelsey is on the beach and calls to Chad. She's like, hey, we got to go. And so he turns around for 1 second, and when he turns back, she's gone. And we know it's because she can go underwater, right? But, like, Chad's like, oh, what happened?
Chad's just confused. He's just like, just saw this girl holding a bunch of trash in the ocean, and now she's gone.
Was she even real?
Yeah. Maybe some trash hit Chad in the head, right. And now he was seeing things.
He probably expelled a lot of energy kicking that dog.
I mean, it was a good kick. There was like a earthquake sound from that kick. So. I mean,
it's a solid kick to knock two grown men off of a pier. Yeah. Like.
He goes back up to the beach. Kelsey tells him that the captain needs them, so they get in the car. What I really like about this is it's just Kelsey and Chad here, and I love it whenever there's like Power Ranger friendships, and Kelsey and Chad is the best one in Lightspeed so far.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, they just went to the beach. They're just like hanging out at the beach today. So they drive back as the mermaid stares wistfully at Chad, thinking, there's the man I love. There he is. This is why I was released from chains somehow.
Apparently.
We cut to the Lightspeed base where Captain Mustache is telling Chad and Kelsey that there is a break in the video line, that something happened, and now they lost some video feed. Somewhere
he says in like domes 4 and 7 or something, like very specific.
Chad is in his wetsuit, so they're walking to the conference room, and when they get there, Carter's like, what's going on? And so the captain says exactly the same thing again, but now to more people, like Power Rangers likes to do,
right?
My favorite part about this scene is that he has a scale replica of the Lightspeed action base.
I love this so much.
That he just has a little stick that he's like right around here. And he's like tracing carefully where the video line is. Like somewhere there's got to be a break.
Well, he says he's like, there was a landslide here. And he pushes some like little pebbles down the wall. It's very cute.
Like, it's a very good like play set to put together, right? Like they had all the rocks waiting there just in case they had a line break so they can have this exact demonstration.
They should have sold these. I mean, I know like Mighty Max was like kind of out of fashion at this point in the year 2000, but like you could have brought it back with Power Rangers.
Oh, easily.
We just got Polly Pockets back in at Target.
Oh, dang.
And man, I was unpacking more boxes, I'm like, there better be Mighty Max in here. There wasn't. No.
Soon, though. Chad goes to fix it. We just get some underwater shots. It's nothing like exciting. He's just swimming around underwater, which is expensive to film. I don't know if anyone like has like watched any documentaries or anything like behind the scenes on any movie where there's a lot of underwater stuff. It's very expensive because it's dangerous to be underwater and it destroys your cameras. So like Power Rangers, the cheapest show in human history, is like, today we're spending all our money.
The entire budget for all of Lightspeed Rescue went to this episode, I'm sure.
Definitely some of the... There's some episodes where it definitely looked like they were like, all right, what do we have? We have one set? guess what? We're using it.
Right.
But this is directed by Jonathan Zacher, who is like the main producer of the show at this point.
Right.
So like, you know, he was like, I want to do a mermaid episode. And they're like, well, we can't tell you no. And he's like, I'm just going to do it. And I'm going to say we can have all the money because I'm the producer. It's a real passion project for old Jonathan Zacher. So he fixes the line. It's not a big fix. He had like pliers and just like fixed it with pliers, I think. I don't really remember.
It was like one twist of the pliers and it's totally fixed.
Yeah, it's like completely severed, but it just happens to be at like a buckle.
Yeah.
So he just has to like pull it out a little bit and snap it back in.
It's more like the entire base just got unplugged effectively.
Yeah. Not necessarily a break in the line, just knocked a, you know, one of your outlets loose. As he is like, hey, everybody, I did it. It was an easy fix. I'm coming right back. They're like, cool, let's wait for him at the little opening. They walk over, and then a rock slide starts happening. The same one that presumably took out this. You'd think there wouldn't be any more rocks up there to slide, but here they are. But it's okay, because the mermaid is there, and she starts like swimming at him like crazy, because she can see the rocks coming. And then we cut inside, where they're all like waiting over, I don't know what that's called, the like diver entrance?
Diver entrance, that's good enough.
Yeah. So they're waiting around that, and Dana's like, it's been too long. Something's gone wrong. Kelsey's like, I don't like this. And Carter is like grabbing a scuba tank. He's like, I'm just going to go get him now.
He's immediately like, I'm just going to go in.
And then Chad's unconscious body floats up, and they're like, oh, my God. And Kelsey and Carter jump in immediately, and I very much like that, because it's like Kelsey's his best friend, and Carter is like a dude who wants to save everybody.
Right.
So like, even in these little moments, you get these really nice character moments of like, oh, here's the Power Rangers. It's really good. I wish Lost Galaxy had anything like this. I'm glad we got past that. So we cut to him waking up like later in a hospital bed. Presumably he was knocked unconscious from some rocks, I assume.
He does say he was pinned down and that somebody pulled him out.
So they're like, okay. And he's like, yeah, it was a... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to tell you that a mermaid saved me.
He's
will not look at me the same way.
He says, that's impossible. And they're like, what is? And he's like, nothing.
They're like, okay, Chad. So they leave him to rest, and he goes to sleep. And then I guess it's nighttime now. It's hard to tell because they're underwater, but like the lights are off. And we see some outside shots. Again, we're definitely underwater because there's bubbles floating up. So, like, they built a water tank outside this window for this shot of some bubbles.
They spared no expense.
Yeah.
There's a shot from the mermaid's perspective. And she, when her hand reaches the window. Are we not there yet?
No, it's...
Well, that's what we're talking about. When they're at the window, right?
No, I'm just saying, who could it be? It's the mermaid.
He sees the mermaid in the window. And then it switches out to her, and it's her hand. And that is definitely not inside a tank. But there is, like, you can see in between the windows, there's still, like, a tiny little tank that they're blowing bubbles through.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised they didn't just use that, but you can tell that they didn't because her hair also is floating.
Yeah.
While she's outside the window.
Yeah, it's just so much work for this episode.
I'm glad Chad gets all the work, though, for his episode. He deserves it, if anybody does.
Yeah.
So he puts his hand up. They do, like, the, like, you know, that hand-on-glass thing that they do in every underwater movie. You know, you've seen it with Free Willy. I'm sure it was in Shape of Water, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm sure it happened in that.
I think it did happen in that. I did see Shape of Water.
It also happens in a lot of prison movies.
Well, yeah. Basically, like, being underwater, right?
Pretty much, more or less.
She leaves, and then she swims back to her nice, her very cozy cove. Like, she's got this little, like, room. There's a bunch of candles and seashells. It's, like, very nice. And, like, I guess a mermaid just lives near the Power Rangers.
We don't know how long she was swimming for.
That's true.
But it probably wasn't very long. I have a question about mermaids.
Okay.
Because they live in the water.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're played by humans, so they have to, like...
Breathe air.
But does the can the mermaid breathe both?
Yes.
Because if her head is in the air, is she technically holding her breath and she has to dip back down to get to get some more?
I mean, she does both in the episode, but I guess when we get further into this episode, that exact question presents... a problem.
I might be foreshadowing a little bit.
Yeah. I right, let's pull it back. Let's pull it back. Let's save it. Let's save this little treat for later. So Viper's there, just chilling in her cove. No idea how Viper found the Mermaid Cove. I mean,
she found the mermaid.
Yeah, I so. Get it. Yeah. But here's the thing: like, Viper can't go underwater because demons can't go underwater. That's the rule. Last episode, some baddies went in the water because last episode was a Looney Tunes episode, not necessarily Power Rangers. So, like, is there a separate way to get into this cove, or did she just, like, hope there was a bubble when she teleported in? How did she get in here?
I have no idea.
There's a reason they didn't show that part.
All right, fair enough.
There's a lot of parts of this episode they just kind of leave up to the imagination.
Yeah.
They were just like, it happened. It's fine.
Yeah. Because, like, she definitely has to, like, swim under something. So, like, the water level is higher than this cove. Like, there's just, like, this little air pocket, which, again, presents a lot of questions that we'll probably definitely talk about in a couple minutes. So she says, like, oh, you're free. And she's like, oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks to you. And I found this wonderful man. He's, like, nice and kind and considerate, and he loves the ocean. And then Viper is, like, now she can enact her plan. So she's like, oh, he's probably got a bunch of land women running after him, like, how are you ever going to get his attention? She's like, oh, wait, what? Like, you think that's going to be a problem?
Right before this next part happens, I was like, this episode's The Little Mermaid. Uh-huh. She's going to lose her voice and get legs because this season is just doing movies.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite happen.
No. Well, she gives her, like, a little, like, a dolphin. Trinket. Yeah.
It's like, it's not even a necklace. It's just a little, like, fifth grade art project of a dolphin.
It's like some dolphin, like, pendant or something like that.
Yeah, it looked like it was like a little stone dolphin, but later on it might be metal. Either way, it looks good. It looks like a dolphin. So, I mean, at least you got that going. Like, the next morning, we cut to the next morning. But this is important. She says, give this to him and he'll never forget you. Okay, so we're planting some seeds. We're doing some filmmaking now. So then, next morning, Chad is looking for her. He's on a jet ski, which is, like, I feel like pretty dangerous. If you don't see her and hit her with your jet ski, that would be pretty bad, Chad.
He's way out. Like, the shot we get of him is nothing but water around.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just, like, deep in the ocean.
Yeah.
On a jet ski.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, look, I'm pro people on jet skis. I love it when people get on jet skis and things because I've never been on one. They seem magical to me. But, like, at the same time, I know people hit manatees with jet skis all the time in Florida. Like, be careful, my dude.
Right.
So he goes back to this dock and the mermaid pops up. He's like, I've been looking for you all morning. And she's like, yeah, I came to say thank you. And he's like, well, I wanted to thank you, or something like that. I don't remember exactly the conversation. Eventually, he's like, I don't even know your name. And she says, it's Marina. Pretty good mermaid name.
That's terrible.
That's decent.
I also thought she was like Ariel, you know, from The Little Mermaid.
My name is Shella.
Shelly. Nice to meet you. She has a gift. It's the thing that Viper just gave her. And we know this is going to go bad, obviously. So she's like, I got this for you. And he's like, oh, thank you. And he opens it up, and the dolphin, like, turns into energy and punches him in the face and knocks him over.
He does, like, a backflip and lands on his butt.
He lands real hard on this dog. I don't know if it's Chad or a stunt guy, but, like, whoever did, I hope you had some sort of padding because they just went for it.
Well, they did at least have a life jacket on, so I don't know how much protection that gives you from a bad landing, but...
So then, now I think this is when the crux of the episode can finally start. this is the climax.
This is the meat of it.
Yeah. So Chad, this dolphin energy wraps around him and turns into chains, and then Viper and Loki and some baddies show up, and they say, like, oh, thanks for helping us, Marina. And she's like, no, you tricked me, Chad. They do.
Yeah.
They,
Viper gets down, like, in Marina's face and is like, I told you he'd never forget you.
And they do that thing where, like, they're trying to cast, you know, be like, this, aha, she was in on it. But then she's like, no, I wasn't. And Chad immediately believes her, which I like. and so she goes to execute Chad, you know, with a sword and kill him.
Yeah, like, chop his head off with her sword.
And Marina reaches forward and grabs Chad and pulls or grabs Viper rather and pulls her down. And David, why
classic Million Dollar Man.
Why don't you take over for this little bit? Because this is the part that I'm especially excited to talk to you about.
Yeah. So so at this point, so Viper's, she's on the ground. Chad is, he's like tied up and chained like at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're like, we really have to make sure he can't, get out of this.
Yeah.
This fight kind of breaks out. And I forgot what they're called. The Batlings, they have a net.
Yeah. And they summon a net.
Yeah, they just kind of have this
Lokai net. Tells them to summon a net. Yeah, and they just manifest one.
He's like, throw the net on her, and then they just make one.
So in the net, they throw it on Marina, but the net's like floating in the water. So presumably she could just, swim out of it, but she doesn't for whatever reason. And then the Batlings have this specifically 1-ton weight attached to this net.
Still got that big toe in the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, it's very Looney Tunes.
They throw it into the ocean to, like, capture her and sink her to the bottom, which presumably means, like, and she's freaking out and Chad's freaking out because, she's going to drown. But then you realize she's a mermaid.
Yeah.
So then the question is, like, okay, well, she's been underwater the entire episode, and she goes really deep underwater. So I presume she can breathe water, or at least at the bare minimum hold her breath for an extremely long time.
Yep.
So I'm not really sure what, like, the end goal, like, how do you drown a mermaid? I don't fully understand.
You can't drown a mermaid.
And it is wild because it is literally exactly how you would drown a human. Like, it's
like a mob drowning.
Everything is given, like, all of the cues are exactly the same as if this was like Kelsey in the water and they were gonna drown her, but it's a mermaid.
Yeah, and Marina, she's also freaking out, like, I don't want to drown. I'm like, I'm fairly confident you're gonna be okay.
You should be fine.
The underlying theme, which was like really in your face for a minute and is kind of subtle now, is the don't litter because it will kill fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to play like she's tangled up in a net. She can't get out. So she's going to die here. But who wrote this?
Judlin and Jackie Marchand.
Yeah. I guess they think fish drown when they get stuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because, like, when they throw the net on her, the net, by the way, is very big, and the holes between the ropes are large. Like,
they're
one lands
big.
Perfectly around her head, and she could just slip right out under it.
She could shimmy your shoulders through and be fine.
There's so many opportunities for her to just not be captured, and she just opts to not take any of those.
But instead, while she has the net over her, she just does like a death roll, I guess, because the next time we see her, she's completely wrapped in it like a blanket.
Yeah.
I think it's in the first episode of Gravity Falls, which, David, have you seen Gravity Falls?
Yeah, I love Gravity Falls.
In the first episode, when all the gnomes are scattered, spoilers, there's gnomes in the first episode of Gravity Falls. When they are scattering, one of them gets caught in one of those like six-pack like plastic things, and like its hand gets in, and it's like played for the laugh, like, don't litter or else like wild animals or gnomes could get caught in them. And I feel like they're trying to do something like that where it's like, nah, she just caught anything in the water gets caught in a net so easy. And then she's going to drown under it.
I mean, she will die there eventually. I imagine she's got to eat something.
But you'd have to assume that, one, someone already knows that mermaids exist at some point, right? Someone got her, right? And she's presumably fairly close to the Ranger's base because she just kind of shows up very quickly. You'd have to assume someone would find her, and she could probably just live a life underwater until someone comes and finds her, but apparently she's going to drown in her natural habitat.
Yeah, it is.
It's like if someone pushed you into your house and was like, got ya.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, eventually,
Yeah, like, it's going to happen sooner or later, but it's going to be a while.
But, like, I definitely have some spaghetti that I can cook first. And, like, I don't think mermaids eat fish. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I feel like they probably eat kelp or plankton or something. I don't know.
Whatever, like, fish eat?
Yeah, because she's half fish. So, like, a fish swims by and she can, like, grab it. She's still kind of net. But,
big
like,
fish
also
eat smaller fish, so she might eat fish.
This is the other part of this. like you said, David, she can hold her breath for at bare minimum. If she has to hold her breath, she can do it for a while.
Yeah.
Because we see her underwater a lot. She has fully posable thumbs. Like, you can get out from a net if you have hands.
It's not, yeah, it's not like chained or anything. It's not locked or tied.
Yeah.
It's just wrapped up.
And, you know, going back to when Chad is pinned. So if Chad is pinned by these rocks and they're too heavy to move for him, and she can just, you know, bare hands, I guess, move all these rocks, I assume she can handle a net in her natural habitat.
Yeah.
But it's just something that's just never addressed.
I thought what they were going to do is throw Chad in the water, because he's, like, covered in chains. Like, he's, like, he would be weighted down. And unlike a mermaid, he cannot breathe under there.
Right. There's actual tension there. Like, oh, he can't breathe.
The only thing this accomplishes for Vipra is that now Marina can't grab her ankles.
Yeah.
Which you would assume the way to fix that is just, you know, move from the edge of the dock. Like, that's all she has to do.
Kill him on the beach.
Yeah. That's it. Marina has been dragged down to the bottom of the ocean. And also, by the way, they're at, like, a dock. Like, it's not, they're not like in the middle of the ocean. They're like right at the edge. Like, it, I don't know how deep it is, but it can't be.
It can't be as deep as they're showing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Vipra gets, like, they get Chad back, like, wrestled back onto his knees. And Vipra has a sword. She's like, I want to savor this, which is always your mistake. Every Power Rangers bad guy, just do the dang thing when you have them. And I think he battle boosts. He hits
he hits the ropes off button.
Yeah,
on his battleizer.
Yeah, he hits a button on his morpher, and he's just, all of the ropes are just gone. He's just untied.
I mean, that button, if they planned for it, it came in handy at least once, so worth it.
Yeah.
It's very prepared, I guess. So then he starts fighting them, like, chained, and he gets the chains off of him, like, because the chains just fall right off without the ropes keeping them in place, I guess. And he dives into it's a good fight. Chad's a good fighter.
Yeah.
I always love Chad's on more fights. And he dives into the water after Marina, and we see some shots of her under there and him going under. And then
the shots of her in the net, they're like face to face for a second, and she's fine. Like, she's not struggling at all. She's just like, I'm in a net.
Right, because she's a mermaid and can breathe.
Yeah. She's mostly just like uncomfortable, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So then we cut back up to Vipra and Loki.
He has, like, a sword or something he grabbed from a baddie, I think.
Because he
starts to, like, cut the net.
Okay.
We only see him, like, not actually cut it, but start to, and then it cuts off of him.
Do they think that nets, like, self-adhere to themselves and that you can't get just, like, move it off of you?
They, like, vacuum seal to your body.
So then we cut back to land, the dock, rather, where Loki and Vipra are like, oh, it's been a couple minutes. I bet they're both dead. And they're like, yep, probably.
Yeah,
let's leave.
Chad, who just swum down there, is fine.
It's, like, been like 20 seconds.
He swam down there on his own. There's nothing holding him there. He's got to be dead.
It's the only option.
So then a morphed Chad, there's like a glowing blue light in the water, and then a morphed Chad super dolphins his way out of there onto, like, this upper deck of the dock. And then he gives like a Sailor Moon speech. Like, he's like, how dare you use a innocent girl against me, like, as part of your evil plan. Like, it's very Sailor Moon. And he starts fighting, and he's just beating the crap out of a bunch of batlings, like, just whipping them. I don't know if Vipra and Loki get in this fight at all.
They don't. He's beating a bunch of baddies, and then Viper's like, do you really think you can fight all of us? And then it shows Vipra and Loki about to square up.
Which is an interesting piece there, because, like, the whole time she's like, you know, are they going to... She asks him, like, you think you can take all of us on? Chad is just standing in this pile of batlings, and it's like...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's doing pretty good so far. Like,
yeah,
I think...
it seems like maybe.
Yeah. But it's okay, because Carter shoots someone.
Loki?
Yep. Because Carter's very shooty.
Yeah. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah. I kind of love it about him.
I love that there was a whole lesson teaching him how that's bad, like a whole episode about it, and he just did not learn it.
I think the lesson he learned is, make sure you know what you're shooting at. You can still shoot it whatever you want as long as you know it's not going to blow up. Unless you want it to blow up, in which case, then shoot it if you want it to blow up. I guess they just decide to leave.
They get the because they like the get separated. Blast.
They do, but I don't know how they get away from each other. Like all of a sudden, they are farther away than I thought they should be.
The Rangers are on the land. They're on the beach.
Oh, does Chad go to them?
Chad jumps over to them.
Okay, I thought like they were closer to Chad, and he just joined up, and then they were like, "We're gonna jump across the pier if that's okay." Viper shoots at Chad, like shoots like a laser out of her sword, and he just like slices it out of the air with his V-Lancer, and there's like this explosion in front of them, and then like the smoke clears and they're just standing there with their V-Lancers. It's really rad.
I love that. Like the smoke clears and they all just like, we all have our V-Lancers now and we're gonna kill you with a Spectrum Blast.
And then we get the Spectrum Blast, and it is the only Sentai footage in the episode.
That's it.
Which is just so wild.
Yeah, it's just weird that this is the episode that clearly they spent the most money on. There's, you know, all the underwater shots, no Sentai footage, so it's all new footage.
I am genuinely surprised that they did not turn the mermaid into a monster.
Right?
Yeah, there's no monster of the week.
No. Yeah, it's just like this nice little love story about Chad and his mermaid girlfriend.
Viper is the monster of the week this week.
Yeah. They Spectrum Blast Lokai and Viper, and it hurts them. They are like visibly, like her little crown thing is all like askew and her hair's a mess.
They're smoking.
There's like some singe marks and stuff. And Viper says maybe the dumbest thing Viper's ever said, which is a feat. She says, "It's okay, because we found his weakness, love." And then Lokai
calls her on it.
He's like, "I think it just made him stronger, actually." And she like hits him like, "Shut up, I'm trying to do something." It's like, okay, Viper, what do you mean love is his weakness? How can you exploit this again?
There was at no point during this episode where love made him vulnerable, except for when he like opened the box.
And that is the only point.
Yeah. But he has an untie button on his thing. So
yeah, no so point Chad is in like any form of real, like, you know, he's fighting, you know, monsters and whatnot, but on the grand scheme of things, he's never in any real form of like danger. Like the whole time.
Only for the 1 second before Marina pulled Viper's ankle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only time where Chad was in any kind of trouble.
And then they try to be like, "Oh, he's dead." But it's just like, no, he's a Power Ranger and he was just underwater for 1 second. And he's the water guy. Like, he's probably fine, Viper and Lokai. I don't know why you're like, "We did it."
And they're also like, "The mermaid's dead too," I bet.
They say 2 down, 4 to go. So they are counting the mermaid among the Power Rangers body count that they have going. They're very bad at their jobs. We cut to, before we cut to the next day, Lokai and Viper dip. And then they're like, "Chad, are you okay?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm just worried about Marina." And he like looks out and she's gone. And then we cut to later that night.
None of the other Power Rangers have ever seen Marina.
No.
Nope.
But none of them are like, "Who the heck are you talking about, Chad?"
Yeah, nobody asks. Oh, but real quick, the back to where he looks for Marina that previous night, the thing that in that scene that's weird to me is he's like, you know, "She didn't come up. I'm worried about her." And I don't understand, because I'm like, but you went down to save her. So like, if you cut the net, did you not check to see if she was okay? Like, did you just
like, you're just like, "All right, I cut it, the rest is up to you."
You should absolutely know if she's okay or not. But then he's worried, like, it maybe she didn't get out in time. So it's like, okay, do you also think she can drown? Like, the whole scenario is just bizarre.
She probably was just like, "I'm out of here. I'm gonna leave so they can't kill me."
I didn't even think about that. He's the one who let her out. If he's still worried about her, that means he didn't finish the job.
Yeah, so it was like, did he just try and just go, "Nah, I don't feel like doing this anymore. This is not cutting the rope, so I'm just gonna go back and fight Viper. You're on your own."
Yeah, like, here's a sword. You got thumbs. You can figure it out. You
roll the opposite way that you rolled into it.
Wild. Absolutely wild. So we cut to the next night, and They are. Chad's like sitting on like. Is he sitting on the dock at this point, or is he like against the railing? I know later he's against the railing. Yeah, so he's at the dock, and he's just looking out. And it's not nighttime; it's like day for night, but it's like
a sunset filter.
It's like red brown filter. It doesn't look great. And she pops up, and they like apologize to each other about like the miscommunications, and like he's like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I like put you in danger." She's like, "I'm sorry, that I put you in danger," and he's like, "Well, it's okay because now that you're free, we can be together." What, Chad?
He has some significant delusions in this entire conversation, actually.
Yeah. Number one, you are presuming a lot.
Is she just going to hang out in, like, the diver door of the base?
Right? Are they going to get a new, like, live-in mermaid?
That room is just her house now.
How are you going to, like... What are, like, your dates are going to be you scuba diving and her underwater, or you sitting at the dock and her leaning out. It's a pretty limited lifespan on this relationship.
You just have to modify a bathtub into a wagon, and then you can bring her up onto the land.
That's a recipe for a disaster.
There's a whole movie about this, right? Is that what Splash is about?
Splash is... I think she turns into a person until she gets... No, I'm thinking of Aquamarine H2O.
So many mermaid movies. A
lot of mermaid movies. I don't know what Splash is about. I know Ron Howard directed it, but that's all I can tell you.
I know there's a mermaid in it, and maybe she's in a city. I don't know.
And Tom Hanks?
I think Tom Hanks is in it.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
Never seen this movie before.
So he's like, yeah, we can finally be together. And she's like, I'm a mermaid. And he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, I can't. Like, we're from two different worlds. It's pretty much like... A Little Mermaid speech, like literally, like we come from different worlds, like we can't, this is never going to work. And she's like, I'll never forget you either, and swims away.
They didn't want to pay me for any more episodes.
But before she swims away, though, Chad goes, I've never met anyone like you, which I just have to assume he's never met a mermaid.
Yeah.
So well, I feel like the answer is obvious. So.
Yeah. Oh, there's another line coming up at the very end.
It goes one farther than this.
It's you're absolutely right that you haven't met a mermaid before, because when you saw a mermaid, you were like, whoa, a mermaid.
I've never seen you before.
I've never seen this before. And then so she's like, goodbye, Chad, and swims away. And we cut over to the other Power Rangers sitting in the rescue rover, just waiting for Chad to like come back. Like they're just like being supportive friends, like, this isn't gonna work, but we need to be here. And Joel's like, he can't wait out there all night. And Kelsey, again, who is Chad's best friend, turns around and goes, oh, yes, he can. Like she knows exactly how long this boy will pine. And so she goes to get him. And she doesn't – I don't think she says anything, but she, like, leans up against the railing. And he's like
– she might put, like, a hand on his back or give him an attaboy.
Yeah. And he says something like just so buck wild. He's like, remember when I told you that I'd know when I found the right girl? I think I found the right girl. And then the episode ends.
A freeze frame.
Which is staggering because they've only had literally two conversations. Because the first time he sees her, she's just some girl holding trash in the water, doesn't speak. The second time, he gets a cursed, like, dolphin thing. And then the second time they actually have a conversation, it's her being like, well, we can't be together. And he's like, well, I've fallen madly in love with you. Like, this was to be together.
The only other interaction they had is him pinned under rocks and thinking he saw a mermaid. And that's it.
Well, then he does see her in the window and confirm that, yes, she is a mermaid, because we definitely see him see her tail swim away.
But still, that's like, none of these are... talking like they talk once. It's just so wild that he's like, that's it, she's perfect. A mermaid. Kelsey, you know how I love fish? I found the perfect girl.
I'm actually in love with a half fish.
Oh, it's so bonkers. So that's the end of the episode. David, we do a thing at the end of our episodes where we say what the best part of the episode was, what the worst part of the episode was, and who the MVP was. And since you were the guest, you'll get to go first. What is the best?
The best part of the episode, actually I have to go with Carter showing up, where he always does his, shoot it, and if that doesn't work, shoot it again, because out of nowhere he just shows up and like, well, that has to be Carter.
It's a great introduction. I'm going to say the best is, How do you choose? I think it's Kelsey and Carter jumping into the little diver entrance as soon as they see Chad, like immediately trying to save their friend, and like specifically that it is those two that do it.
I think my best is when the smoke clears and they all just have the V-Lancers, and before Vipra and Lokai can tell what's going on, they just blast them with a spectrum blast.
That's pretty rad. David, what's the worst part of the episode?
Trying to drown a mermaid, because it doesn't make sense.
Not only trying it, but Vipra just believing in her heart of hearts that it worked.
And everyone just... I guess she just like secreted it out into the universe. We're like, yeah, we can drown a mermaid. And everyone's like, you're right. And they fell for it. That's also my worst. Josh, I'm assuming. Same.
Yeah.
Who's the MVP, David?
I guess Chad. I mean, it was his episode, right? And he went through a lot and a lot of internal dedication to this mermaid that he has talked to literally two times.
I think my MVP is going to be Kelsey for being a good friend, like, just throughout the whole thing. Yeah. I just feel like Kelsey was a real good friend. And I normally would give it to Chad because, like, it's his episode. He does a lot. And, like, he's good in it. And had that kick where he kicked I want to go back and do my best, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep my best. But runner-up is him spin-kicking a couple of grown men off of a pier by not hitting them, but by hitting the pier. But, yeah, I think it's Kelsey is my MVP just for being a good friend.
I'm going to give it to Chad just because he did the most in the episode, but also like he did a lot of real good fighting stuff.
He did.
And that's my button. So
yeah. So David, you got any final thoughts on Ocean Blue?
No, I mean, it's not it's not the worst episode or anything like that. It's just bizarre, like totally bizarre the entire way through. And it just never fully makes sense.
No.
I think if you look at it as a whole, the episode is not bad, but man, is it just kind of weird.
Yeah. It's again, Jonathan Zacher is like the head producer. Like when the Megazord pops up in the title sequence, it says produced by Jonathan Zacher. Like he gets the most important like credit name there. This just has to be like one of his daughters.
I was just thinking, Dad,
is there going to be a mermaid episode of Lightspeed Rescue? And he's like, now
his daughter's just wearing out that Little Mermaid VHS.
I gotta give her something else to watch. or like he just had this idea in his head and was like, I'm gonna make it happen and I'm gonna spend all of our money and we're not gonna use any Sentai footage because there's no mermaids in GoGo 5, I guess. David, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Is there anywhere people can find you on the internet? Or you got anything to plug?
I guess my Twitter. I'm on every couple of months, Helix Meteors, and just my website, davidpinkney.com.
All right. Thank you very much. Next episode is called Lightspeed Revenge, and that'll be on Monday. But until then,
may the power protect you.
We've been going real long lately because we'll just like there'll be like a car siren, so we stop for a minute and then talk about Valdo for 2 minutes, and then that all gets cut.
And then we just can't stop laughing about Double Dare.
Yeah, we just I guess I don't know. Sometimes when the episodes are bad, we have to make our own fun.
Yeah.